revoltingly. But I saw a friend of yours out at Chancellor Earhart's barbecue, and he went back and nearly cried and gave me a letter. Said, when in doubt, follow Walker Stone. So I want you to know that you're carrying a heavy burden and you thought no more awesome responsibility than you ever had. He said, now, I thought you had a good enough judgment to have a friend around you that had some sense. But said, I couldn't tell whether you really respected him that much or not, because Roy Howard's there and he does all the talking whenever he's there. And said, I just want to be sure that you are listening to him. The man is Frank, Dr. Frank Dobie. But it was the damnedest letter that you ever read. He came to this Chancellor Earhart meeting.
Yeah.
And we put on what you'd call my country a real shindig. I'm sending your friend George Carmack, who's not a Johnson man, as you must have observed in your years.
He's coming
but
around.
You ought to recopy this in every Scripps Howard paper in America. It's better than this Nana story of North American newspaper lines, Houston Hart. But it's the best damn story I ever read that George Carmack wrote, and I'll send it to you this afternoon for you to read and enjoy. But anyway, even if you won't publish it, but old man Dobie came up, sitting there with Carmack, and had this letter all typed out himself. I don't guess he's got a stenographer. But he says that I just want to tell you that you're going to have awesome responsibilities, dangerous decisions, heavy burden, and I feel for you, and I'll do anything I can, but I'm up in years. But the best man in your vicinity that I've ever seen around you, and the clearest thinker, is Walker Stone. And I said, I want to see if you had that opinion of him, but I never could tell, because you was listening to Roy, and said, when Roy's there, he's always doing the talking. But said, I want to join you to please listen to him. So I'm calling up now and telling you that I hereby submit to your entreaties, and any instructions you got, I will carefully follow.
All right, will you listen for just a minute?
Yes, sir.
My God, now you asked for it, I'm telling you.
But I want it.
You're out pacing. You're racing your motor, Lyndon. You, God damn it.
Well, I'm having
You've got this thing. You've got this thing in the bag.
I'm just enjoying my friend.
Well, they can't possibly beat you. But I'll tell you what you're doing. You are trying to do too much.
No, I'm not.
I'm not.
You know all I've done? I worked on the budget.
Right.
And I...
Now, you promised to listen to me, old Dobie.
But I'm like Roy Howard.
Yeah, okay, you
are. At least like he said he was. Go ahead.
You're trying to do too much. And you're racing your motor. And you're drinking too much. And you're not sleeping enough.
Oh, now listen there, my friend. Oh, that's wrong. I'll tell you what I'm doing. I had a quiet morning. I didn't come to the office until I waked up at 6:30. All my life, I waked up on a road gang, and I can't, goddamn it, you get up early, don't you? You had to get through Oklahoma. You can't tell me you ever made the big leagues or not getting up early. It takes us a little longer than does some other folks. And I get up early and I read all the papers. I read about 15 of them. But I read them in bed and I'm relaxing, drink my tea and go to the bathroom and watch the television. And then this morning, I won't tell you, this stuff's got around town and my friend's really worried. I won't tell you why. I never enjoyed life more, never felt better in my life physically than I do now. At 12:45 today, I took Jack Valenti, Walter Jenkins, Bill Moyer, and I swam the length of that pool eight times today. I went down and had a hamburger. I came back and looked over my State of the Union, called up, busted the fellow about $40 million, too much in a budget, and stretched out and took a little doze, lost consciousness for about 5 minutes on the couch. Came back and they said, now, are you in a good humor? I said, yeah. Well, I said, we'll save you this until you're in a bad humor. And I said, what is it? I said, it's George Carmack's article. I said, we want to give it to you when you're in a bad humor. So I knew it was going to be bad if it's George's. And I read it, and he said that they always say that folks are not true to their raisin. But Johnson is true to his raisin. And he wrote the kindest, sweetest, nicest description. I'm going to send it to Dean Rusk, Mac George Bundy, and all these sophisticated fellas. Andrew Biddleduke, he even compliments Andrew Biddleduke. Yeah. I want you to read it. And
I'll catch it.
Then I read old man Dobie's letter, and the funny thing was, Houston Hart wrote about it like George Carmack did for all of his papers, North American newspaper launch used it. But he said if there's ever a place where Andrew Biddleduke, the proper chief of protocol, was not needed, it was Stonewall, Texas. So I thought you would pay us. So I'm really, then I'm going over, I'm going to bed early. You know, I don't have anything to do at night. I can't go out. If I broke out twice, what I do is I go home and I have myself two or three highballs with my wife, and I have to sit there and read and work. I've got Indonesia. They wanted me to give them $35 million the other day, and I had to read on it till 2 o'clock in the morning. They came in and I had to have India 65, and I read on it till 2 and turned both of them down. But I just thought, what if I hadn't had the desire to read them? I'd be in a hell of a shape. But I've got my State of the Union. I've got one that suits you. It won't suit you and Harry Byrd in every respect, but it will in dollars. And Kennedy's had a 98.8 budget, and he's been adding $5 billion a year, and I guarantee you I didn't add $5 billion. I may add a little, but not $5 billion. I got less employees than the Defense Department's had in 15 years. I got less total employees this year than I had last year. Kennedy added 135,000, and I've added none. I just told the Chief of Civil Service that. And so far as prudence and frugality is concerned, you'll like it. You won't like my poverty. I'm going to try to teach these niggers that don't know anything how to work for themselves instead of just breeding. I'm going to try to teach these Mexicans who can't talk English to learn it so they can work for themselves. I'm going to try to build a road in eastern Kentucky and northern West Virginia and a few of these places so they can get out and go to school, get off of our taxpayers' back and so forth. And that I'm going to call poverty. But the liberals are already after me. The Washington Post this morning's got a story that says that Johnson's going to cut so much in the budget that by not adding this extra $5 or $7 billion, we'll have a depression.
Yeah.
And Schlesinger's going to resign on me, and that's really going to make me die. I don't know how I'll ever save that. But I've got to have help from you and old man Dobie.
You got it. You got it.
But don't you think I'm overdone? If I am, I'll just come out. First time I feel real good and tired, and feel like I'm overdone it, I'll call you and let you come over here and judge it to sit around the evening. But Lady Bird and I, it's not like you were in the Senate where you got 100 people around you every night. We don't do that. I have lunch today with Walter Jenkins, and I was rather lonely. And I had a nice little rest. So don't you worry about me, and I'll guarantee to be more careful anyway.
Well, listen, there isn't anything that you've made the goddamnest impact on this country imaginable.
Well, you just watch my...
Everything right, except watch yourself.
You just watch my budget message. Here, you want to take it?
I know I'm going to like it.
Or is this late one? Yes, sir. Okay. Goodbye.
I'll support you on poverty, too.
Thank you, my friend. God bless you.
Thank you, Mr. President.